Hello, welcome back to the Public Relations Podcast. So season six is over. That formatted show is over for the moment. What I'm going to do over the next couple of months is I want to really focus in on these kind of bonus episodes that I've done in the past, whereby I just talk to someone who's just done a campaign or just launched a campaign with something really innovative and interesting within it, or has perhaps been involved in some kind of news item or released some new figures or some kind of data or something, anything basically that will practically help us deliver our PR and comms campaigns. So if someone has done something that could make a difference to what you're doing, and I don't just mean the sort of the humdrum day-to-day stuff that we've all heard before, I mean something innovative, something interesting, or something useful that you can practically apply today, then I'm going to try and reach out and get them on the show and talk to them about that. This first episode then is with Zach Cutler, who is from Propel PRM. Now, that's a media database platform, but it uses AI quite a lot now. Like a lot of platforms are introducing AI to really try and tailor press releases so that they actually target journalists properly. And you actually get the pitch right, and it actually goes to journalists who might be interested rather than, you know, the old spray and pray approach. So he's got some figures, which is based on a lot of pitches. So it's worth taking note of these, because clearly there's some, this is evidence-backed details on how to get a pitch to work in 2024. So I hope you find this really interesting. That's coming up in just a few seconds' time. Also, just to let you know, too, that the PRology platform that I was working on, I've had to change the name because there's another company already registered under that name. Whoops. But anyway, so you can find it now at prsnap.com. It is just about to go live. I would love to get your feedback on it. What do you think is needed? What's working? There's a free trial on there for 7 days anyway, so you can try it out, see what you think of it. But I would love to get your feedback. What would make that useful to you? That's it for now. Let's get on with Zach Cutler. It is a really interesting chat. Here we go. First of all, hello, Zach. I mean, thanks so much, obviously, for one of your team for contacting me about these figures that you do on the presses. I know you have been doing this for quite a while, but I read through that report and that left me with a few questions. I think there's quite a bit we can pull out of this about what is working now with press releases and pitching generally, because this isn't just about traditional media anymore, isn't it? It's pretty obvious from looking at that. And I know a lot of people watching this right now are not going to have a lot of time. So let's kind of dive into some of this. But I mean, my first thought, though, was, you know, you're using this stuff to market your own business. So putting aside kind of the press release and what you sent to me and the headlines and those figures, what caught you personally? What made you go, you know what? That's interesting.
Yeah, thanks, Richard, for having me. So that's a great question. And I love that you mentioned that we use our own tool to promote our own business. We call it dog fooding. If you can eat your own dog food, then you know that you're serving your dog some decent food. And in tech and SaaS, that's
you've got to get it right. If it doesn't work, it's not going to work for you either, is it?
Exactly. So, yeah, Propel is a much smaller, much more agile company than all of our competitors, who are considered the legacy incumbents. And we have one person that does PR in-house. You know him. And essentially, every single quarter, we get more coverage in earned media than every single one of our competitors. I've always been a storyteller and a writer type, but I've also always been a numbers type. And I always dreamed of making PR more data-driven and making my agency more data-driven. Find the creative part of PR with like a data-driven numbers approach, that's where the magic really happens. So we've been studying millions of real PR pitches that have been sent through our Gmail and our Outlook integrations. And we've understood, okay, what is the behavior of pitching in general? At a collective level, and what does the engagement look like on the journalist side? So we're able to uncover really interesting insights, like what is the most effective day to pitch? What is the most effective time to pitch? Are we seeing any trends? Are we seeing these engagement rates go down or up after certain events or after certain things?
Let's run through those in a moment, because I really think that's going to be some really useful stuff that people are going to want to hear about as well, about what you've come out with. But tell me what it was that grabbed you, though. I mean, I'm always curious about this. You know, you can put out press releases and you can say, this is the thing that I think other people are going to be interested in. But what grabbed you personally?
Yeah, so to me, the thing that always stands out is the relatively low response rate So if we think about it, the fact that only 3% of pitches are actually getting a response, why is that happening? I mean, in a sense, I can understand that, you know, if you spray and pray out to a bunch of irrelevant people, then, you know, you're not going to get many responses. But if you're actually a thoughtful PR or comms professional, you're doing your research, you're pitching the appropriate people, it feels to me like a response rate should be higher than 3%. My gut feel is that it's harder and harder to find the right journalist to pitch if you don't do the proper work and research and tailoring. And there's a simple reason for that. The media landscape has completely proliferated in the last decade. Instead of having, you know, 20 key people in your Rolodex that you might have had 20 years ago, you've got hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of relevant people to pitch. All kinds of new bloggers, new outlets, new micro journalists, new traditional journalists, et cetera, podcasts, you name it. And yet the tools to help you as a PR or comms professional have not advanced significantly, except, may I say, Propel. That's why AI is a critical component of PR for the future and for today. And that's why we've spent the last 14 months working
I really wanted to ask you about AI because obviously, you know, ChatGPT kind of kicked off pretty much a year ago, wasn't it? I mean, a year and a couple of months. So you must have seen a huge change in that time. I mean, newsrooms have seen a huge change. Journalists have seen a huge change. PR people have seen. And the opportunities to take advantage of that. What sort of impact have you seen then on the figures as a result of AI, do you think?
If we look at the progress through 2023, we actually see a turnaround in the response rate. So before that, we were seeing a steady decline, quarter over quarter over quarter. And in 2023, we started to see the trend reverse. And I think that AI is playing a big role in that because it's actually allowing PR professionals to find the right journalists without having to do extremely high amounts of manual labor. It can understand from a pitch, from a press release, who are the most relevant journalists using advanced AI models. And it can suggest a list of 20 of 50 people that are really relevant. And in the past, PR professionals would go subscribe to a legacy media database, one of the old companies that has provided these for decades, but there hasn't been much innovation there. So they could put in a term and it would put together a really large list, and 95% of the people on the list would not be relevant. And so this behavior is starting to change with the help of AI.
So how far do you think AI can go? I remember even after a few months this came out and I was chatting with a guy that studies AI and we were speculating about how this could impact PR. And one of the things from that was that it could, in theory, read a bunch of articles from a journalist, work out their writing style, the key points that they want, and help you actually write a press release which is written in their style to hit their buttons in their way. I mean, are we there yet?
Yes. So not only are we there, but we're also able to understand the recent work of each journalist, which allows the PR user to create a highly personalized email pitch that references the recent work, that reference very specifically the details and perhaps insights from a recent article or recent group of articles that that individual journalist wrote. So what we always found at my agency is that when we were able to successfully reference the recent work, the recent articles of a journalist, and we were able to do that in an organic way where they understood that we are not just sending the same pitch out to everyone. Like we read their recent articles and we, you know, referenced them in our pitch. It dramatically raises the response rate. And you could do this for 10 pitches, for 20 pitches in seconds instead of hours is a total game changer.
The goal of this is to give content that obviously you as a PR want to be putting across to a journalist that wants to use it. And even though in a funny way, it feels like this is being a bit fake, it feels like it's cheating, but if it gives people what they want and saves them time, then who's complaining? If someone actually pitches to me, well, I want to use it. It's not a problem. I actually want to use it. If only someone would give me something I could use. And if this helps that, that's awesome. So, okay, the other perspective on this is AI within the newsroom, because there's going to be more and more filtering of press releases as they're coming in. There's going to be more the way it's going to go, you know, because so many press releases are going to be coming in, so many pictures are going to be coming in with the help of AI. It's going to get easier. That there's got to be some degree of filtering by AI within in newsrooms and writing the stuff straight away. So how do you think that is going to change the way that people pitch and get a story to get noticed by the AI in newsrooms?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think that AI also will play the opposite role. So essentially helping journalists find the appropriate sources for their stories. I know that journalists are always looking for sources and it's not always the easiest task. So having AI that can help journalists to immediately identify who is the perfect source for this story. And then, you know, saving them a tremendous amount of time in doing that is also a use case that I see for how it will help journalists.
So in fact, in a way, it's a bit like with website SEO, isn't it? Is that you've actually got to be thinking less about just pitching some exciting sounding title now and making sure you're getting in the key phrases and the key aspects that are going to be picked up by the AI in newsrooms that is going to be able to get the right sources, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it's all about that tailoring, 100%. The days of spray and pray are completely over, and anyone who's going to continue to do that will become very irrelevant very quickly.
Let's have a look at some of the individual figures. One of the ones was about the best data pitch, which I was quite curious about. And I'm sure one of the things with this data is it's going to depend on the industry you're in. I mean, you know, some of the people who've been on this show have said the press releases are dead and they refuse to use them. Some people, particularly in trade or niche industries, whether it's a specific trade press or something like that that people need to use, they're absolutely vital. So it's going to vary. But I mean, just tell us a bit more about what you found with that, because reading the report, it said, Tuesday is still the best day to pitch, with 35.69% of pitches being responded to that day. But interestingly, you said that Mondays is the day that most PRs pitch on. What do you get from those figures?
Yeah, it's really interesting. So we actually see that the days tend to fluctuate between quarters, and we see a high correlation typically between the PR professionals' pitch on a certain day versus the response rate they're getting. So for example, for so many years when I was working in PR and running my agency, there was this notion that Friday was a terrible day to pitch. Every single person I ever hired said the same thing, and I always believed it myself. It was just the one day of the week where you never, ever, ever would send out a news announcement on a Friday. And I see you're smiling, so you probably agree with that, or, you know, I don't know what your
thoughts are. Depends how busy you are and everything. It can vary, yeah.
What was fascinating was that one quarter with the media barometer, the Propel Media Barometer, we discovered that actually the highest response rate was on Friday. And it was so fun to dispel the myth. And our theory was that because there was such an underrepresentation of pitches on Friday, exactly. In fact, there's an overrepresentation of responsiveness. And that makes a lot of sense. It's not rocket science. If you have, you know, no pitches going out on Friday almost, and then someone actually does send one, then okay, it could catch the eye of a journalist.
You're trying to fill airtime and you need stories, and that story arrives, you've got a lot more chance that day. I mean, the only danger is that then it gets pushed over to Saturday and then no one's listening. In my case, because I was radio news, that was the danger of that one, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So these numbers really fluctuate. I think it's important to pay attention to the data as a PR pro, because you actually can unlock higher open rates, higher response rates if you follow what is working and what's not?
I think it does depend on what you're trying to achieve and who you're trying to pitch to as well. I mean, you know, if you are trying to get a story out that perhaps you don't want as much coverage as you might want, then you might be wanting to pitch on a Friday afternoon or on a bank holiday when everyone's off. You know, there's obviously different reasons why PRs are going to be putting out stories on different days. So I think it does depend. And then also there's you know, depending on what events are happening. It's that news cycle as well. What is the story that's currently there? Because the classic is like people pitching Barbie stories after Barbie had dropped out of the limelight. And it's like, well, you're too late. And while you were in the middle of that, well, I don't know, actually.
Well, imagine if you could understand that Wednesday morning is the best day and time to pitch you, whereas Thursday afternoon might be the best day and time to pitch me as a journalist. Exactly. And so understanding those different preferences, and we see a lot of variety there. So some journalists, they engage the most on Monday evenings, and some are Thursday mornings. And being able to give our users that data just helps them to send out the pitches at a more optimal time.
Yeah, and I think it depends on the medium as well. Certainly in radio news, when we were covering a story live, if we were running out of material or comments, and I mean, I was doing 2.5 hours of live show each day. If we needed someone to comment on it, there's no point sending that story to me 2 days later. I need it now. And if you gave it to me when I got a quiet moment, I needed to fill a spot, there was every chance you were going to come on. So I think it's the medium of the journalist, as you exactly say. Let's talk about subject lines as well. This was interesting as well. It was saying his subject lines are between 1 and 5 words have the highest response rates, but pitches with subjects between 6 to 9 words were sent the most. I mean, this is an interesting one because, again, we're talking about a generic figure across all types of media here, aren't we? But it's short and punchy is always going to be most effective if you can actually get that story in there. There's nothing worse. I mean, the ones that
I brought that up because we see quarter after quarter that the shortest subject lines tend to do the best. And we always see the consistency here that 1 to 5 words has a significantly higher engagement than subjects that are longer. So it's very interesting. And what we also keep seeing is that the most popular length of subject lines continues to not be 1 to 5 words. And so I think this is taking some time for the PR community to really learn is that although it's tempting to stuff in as much as possible into a subject line, it actually is counterproductive. And getting your subject line to between 1 to 5 words is actually very important to getting an open and getting an open and getting an open is very important to getting a response. So,
yeah.
I think
you can see the data very clearly there. But as you say, it is a challenge to get it into 5 words often. Particularly when you're close to a story and you've got all these different angles floating around in your head and trying to go, okay, that's it.
Yeah, exactly. And a subject line is kind of like talking. PR professionals like to talk. So imagine trying to trim that down into just a tiny 3 or 4 words is going to be difficult, but it's important.
I mean, I must admit, I've been using AI to do that. And although it's not necessarily great at it, it often gives you the inspiration. You'll see it suggest something and you go, ah, yes, I can use that. Just to try and condense, you put in a bunch of stuff that you would have loved to have written, which is normally a paragraph, and it, you know, you ask it and say, please come up with a headline in under 5 words. Give me 20 suggestions. And you'll just see like that one bit. Or just I see the hook I can go on there. Let's talk about body of text as well then, because this kind of applies to that too. So it said here, reading the report again, it says pitches with bodies between 51 and 150 words saw the highest number of responses at 7.13%, while those between 500 and 1,000 words, despite being sent the most, only saw a 1.45% response rate. I love telling this one. I still remember in the newsroom, and remember this is a radio newsroom where you're under tremendous pressure to get stuff out, someone sent a press release which just said you might find something interesting in our newsletter, and they sent a PDF of a newsletter with, you know, multiple page newsletter. And it's like, no way. It's not going to work. I'm not going to open it. I don't care. So
exactly.
It's got to be short.
It's got to be. And it's the same idea as the subject line. And if we think about the fact that the response rate for 1,000 plus words is is just a little over 1%. Whereas response rate for 21 to 50 words in the body is over 20%. This is a shocking difference. That's 20 times higher. Now, if we think about what those pitches are with 1,000 or more words, it's probably along the lines of what you just said. It's a pasted press release that isn't customized, that, you know, is a kind of an overload of information for the journalist. Journalists hate receiving those kinds of pitches, especially as the first email. I mean, if they're interested in the story, then they'll ask for the press release and then you send it. But to just send everything in this first email and overload the journalist with information is very, very counterproductive.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised at all by that figure. Let's try and cover another couple of bits because we're kind of running out of time here. Influencers, I was quite interested in. And I'm not surprised by this. You were saying here that I think it was, 90% of pitches to influencers are opened with 28% responded to. You know, we've talked a huge amount about influencers on this show, particularly in terms of moving away from these kind of just massive makeup influencers to more nano influencers, to experts versus professional influencers. And a lot of these people, I think, are genuinely interested in hearing about interesting news that helps them tell their story and understand what's going on. So I'm not surprised by the response on that, because I think there is a real opportunity for PR people now to be helping those sorts of people.
Yes, and that's what's encouraging, is that we see these pockets where the engagement is tremendously high with influencers. We also see that the engagement rates with podcasts are extremely high. So we're seeing different, very encouraging signs. And I think that as long as PR professionals are following the data, they're pitching some of the newer media types, whether it's podcasts, whether it's influencers, and not only sticking to traditional staff writers, although that is always going to be the bread and butter of media relations, but there's so many other newer segments of media that we're finding high engagement rates with. We're seeing a much higher response rate among podcasts than other more traditional media. And I think that it's really important for a PR pro to understand this, because let's say you have an hour in the day to pitch a certain story. And let's say the response rate, just for example, at traditional cable news outlet is going to be 2%. And the response rate of a podcast is going to be 20% on average. Are you going to go for the podcast or are you going to go for the cable news network? Well, if you want a higher chance of getting results and getting actual coverage for your client or your brand, then the data says go with the podcast. And, you know, you don't have to just do one or the other, but
yeah,
following the data allows you to make these kinds of decisions so that you're spending your time in the most effective way and getting the best results.
Yeah. Let's try and sum this up for, let's say you've got a small shop or a small charity or something like that who haven't got the resources of PR people. They're trying to do something a little bit themselves. What kind of lesson would you draw from your latest report on how anyone, I mean, even if it's someone promoting their local fair for their school, what can they be doing to learn from the kind of data that you've got here to use so that they can be writing something? If they're not a PR pro, they're just trying to get something out there that maybe the local media would be interested in. What would be your conclusion from this data?
Yes. So I would say, first of all, when you send the email pitch to the journalist, make sure that the subject line is between 1 to 5 words. You're going to have a much higher response rate if you do that. Also, make sure that the body of the pitch is between 1 to 100 words so that you actually increase your chance of response rate there as well. Avoid sending long pitches. Avoid sending long subject lines. These, we know for sure, dramatically lower the response rate. So if I had to give 2 tips, those would be my top 2 tips.
Keep it tight. Keep it relevant.
Yes.
And that's really all of it, isn't it? There's one more thing I want to ask you about just before we round up on this one. And that's just the future of PR generally. You know, we've got the AI era coming. We're talking about that now. Where do you think it's going to go, media relations, PR generally, over the next, say, 5 years? I mean, what's everyone's got their own perspective on this. So I'm not going to hold you to this and ask you in 5 years' time and say, oh, you got it right or wrong. What's your gut feeling at the moment as to what you think is going to happen?
I believe it's the golden age of PR. I think that it's the golden age of storytelling. More than ever, people are hungry for real content. They've learned to tune out the ads. Ads are going out. Cookies are dead. Ads are on their way out. Everyone is frustrated, annoyed, done with ads. People want real stories. They want to connect. And earned media is about telling those real stories. And so that's why year after year, we see that the earned media segment is rising and the paid media segment is falling in terms of numbers. Now, what does this mean for PR professionals? It means that the industry at large is growing. And at the same time, the tools in order to be effective at this industry are literally transforming by orders of magnitude. So before, if it took a full day to find the relevant journalists to pitch your story to, in the new golden age of PR, it takes seconds. And this is so exciting because what it allows is a tremendous return of time into the PR and comms professionals' day, which allows them to craft more creative stories, to think of more interesting angles, to develop more close relationships. And all of these things allow for better storytelling. And so I think that in 5 years, PR is going to be a larger industry than it ever was. I think that PR professionals are going to be able to tell their stories to the right audiences more easily and more effectively than ever before. And I think that to what we were talking about a few minutes ago, the everyday mom and pop business, whether it's a store, whether it's a restaurant, whether it's a doctor's office, whatever it may be, is also going to be able to tell their story. And they're not going to have a budget for an agency. They're going to be able to have the tools and technology to get out their story, to be able to tell their story well, and to be able to connect with their audience through that earned media that they get.
That's really interesting. You know, a lot of people kind of going, well, PR as a term is dying. And they're dropping it and they're becoming integrated agencies and they're doing earned media just as much. And while I support the idea of you've got to kind of try everything now, I think you have. To me personally, I think what's going to stand out in the future is storytelling, because there's going to be a huge level of standard branded marketing on a level we've never seen before, pumped out and optimized by AI every day. Our ad blindness, to me, is just going to reach a whole other level. We're just going to block everything. And the organizations, in my view, that are going to win are the ones who can tell a story. And I don't mean just once, that can weave a narrative into your life. And to me, like you just said there, that is PR. And I think PR is about to approach a new golden age. Maybe it's going to change a bit. Maybe we're going to change the name of it or whatever it is. But I think the mindset, the approach of PR, is the future now.
100%. I completely agree. And I think that humans are hungrier than ever for connection, for connecting to other people, for connecting to other communities, and stories are what allows that to happen. And so the importance of storytelling in a world that is getting bigger and more complicated is more important than ever. And I believe, as you do, that the brightest days of PR are actually ahead of us.
It's exciting times. Awesome to speak to you, Zach. Thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate it. And let's do it again sometime.
Thank you, Richard.
Thanks so much for listening today. That was a great chat with Zach Cutler from Propel PRM. As I said at the beginning, I'm going to be doing more of these sorts of bonus episodes where I'm just going to reach out when I see them to interesting people who are doing interesting things that you can apply something about that to your own campaign today to try and make this as practical and useful as possible. Also, quick mention as well, PR Snap, please do go and have a try with that. There's a free trial of a week anyway. And let me know what works for you, what doesn't work for you. I would be really interested to know so that I can get that working for listeners of this show as well who would like to join that platform. That's it for this week. It'll probably be a little bit of a break, but then I'm going to be getting a lot more of these bonus episodes. So keep a very careful eye on your feeds and also on LinkedIn as well. Make sure you follow me on LinkedIn, Richard Midson, M-I-D-S-O-N, where I will be updating all the details about what's coming up and what's coming up in the podcast too. Hope you're having an awesome week. Speak to you real soon. Bye.